Well, I've been struck by the times I visited Speaker Square at the lack of women speakers. I was wondering last night why there aren't so many women musicians, and a woman said to me, well, they don't get the opportunities that men get. And I was thinking, like most young lads in pop groups and stuff, they get a guitar and sit down in their attic and they just play it, like this guy over here or whatever, you know. I don't think they needed any great advantage to learn guitar. But I think that the reason that women are less likely to get up is that they're less, generally speaking, they're less into risk taking. Maybe it's to do with lack of testosterone or something, but they're more conformist, take more visual and social cues probably. Maybe that's why they're targeted more easily by advertisers who say...
There's a saying, women boldly go where other women have boldly gone before.
Well, yeah, maybe, that may be as well. And I've heard from Ina Shear a guy saying that English words used in the Irish language, like they use lobsters instead of glumachy, that this is a trend that's bought in by women, teenagers especially, who know the Irish word but think it's quite cool to use the English word. This is not an anti-woman thing, this is just a cultural observation. And the other side of it, Kieran was talking about the mass media. We have a disgrace of a public service media in Ireland called RTE. They do not act in the national interest and they take that much revenue off advertising. It's incredible. You cannot watch anything on RTE without being assailed by some insult on your intelligence called advertising. And what they actually do, I mean, they really, to show how stupid they think you are, they actually turn up the ads during a film, for instance. So just in case you don't get the message, you know.
So what, you reach for a mute button quicker.
Well, this is what the whole thing is. There, obviously, by turning up the ads in the middle of a... So the ads are louder than the film. You know that the film is just a vehicle for the ads.
Yeah.
You're not there to watch the film. You're primarily there to watch the ads as far as RTE are concerned. And RTE have done some other disgraceful things. They're robbing our national archives and selling them back to us. So, for instance, the Pope's visit to Ireland is released on DVD for Christmas and probably costs about 30 or 40 euro. This is a disgrace because we've already paid for this footage through taxpayers' money.
I don't need to say, I saw him in Limerick, so I don't need a DVD.
Well, that's okay, but if it should be there, if you're part of the audience or whatever, you're probably on that footage. And it should be available as part of our national archive for you to have, if you want it.
Well, let's say like a million people who visit and want to get a free DVD. We haven't paid for a DVD each.
Well, at least then let's have it at cost price, you know, which is about 50 cents per DVD. You know, that's no big hamper on the taxpayer even to pay for that if anybody wants it. You know, anyway, it should be made available online, and so you could watch it online or download it online. It would cost no money to do that. So we've already paid for this. They take Shannon singers like Lauros O'Kine or like Roisin and Auron from Aran Mór and Donegal, who've been recorded, given freely of their time, and been recorded by Seamus Ennis or somebody who's been paid to actually go and record these people. They're selling them back to us at 20 euro a shot, and they're on release for 6 months, and then they're copyrighted. This is a scandal. This is robbing our national treasures and selling them back to us, which is like quite disgraceful. There's certainly nothing public service about this. You know, so I think there's definitely something wrong with the ethos of RTE, whatever about their conservative lack of imagination in their standards, and the old boys network, because we've got such a closed media in this small little country that a lot of the best journalists like Fergal Keane go off and work for the BBC, or Audrey Carville or people like that go off and work for the BBC. There's just no room at the inn because it's jobs for the boys and stuff,
yeah,
you know.
BBC is controlled too, though, isn't it?
BBC is controlled, I suppose, over the Hutton affair. BBC is definitely controlled, but to some extent. And they've kept a bit quieter on the war. And when I see some of the excuses that this guy on Newsnight, what's his name? Jeremy Paxman. Some of the excuses that he calls interviews, completely taking British secret sources as being absolutely given fact. So they say that Gerry Adams is in the top council of the IRA, in the Army Council. And how does he know? Well, security figures tell him. You know, this is not good enough. You know, is it a problem?
The BBC were really good. They allowed Galloway on there for about an hour every night. Well,
well, I'm not sure, because Galloway is more into bookselling, I'm sure, than he is into actually giving any particular message.
Don't want Galloway on, because he's going to give the real truth out.
Well, he's on celebrity, what do you call this, Big Brother at the moment, you know. I went to see George Galloway speak in Washington and tried to get him involved with the pit stop action here for a bit of publicity. And they wouldn't let us anywhere near him. He said, if you want to talk to him, you got to buy a book, queue up at the back. There was a queue about 2,000 people long. And then maybe he'll talk to you. At a very big vote in the House of Commons to do with the war in Iraq. George Galloway was off gallivanting somewhere. He couldn't be bothered even turning up, even though his vote would have made a crucial difference. I've got some mistrust as to where George Galloway is coming from. And anyway, I've got a complete distrust of this celebrity culture on the left. So let's say Noam Chomsky's coming to town in a few weeks' time, you know, and everybody wants to kiss his ass, and everyone's. Now I think Noam Chomsky is a very good writer, and I think Noam Chomsky is very good at what he does. But to hell with this celebrity culture. People should be able to think for themselves. They shouldn't be hanging on every word that somebody like George Galloway or somebody like Noam Chomsky can come out with. They're well capable of thinking. Or Amy Goodman when she was in town doing something for the pit stop as well. You know,
isn't that they just phrase things better than the people who phrase things in the media?
Well, it's a sad thing to say. There's no shortage of people who can phrase things equally well. It's a sad indictment of the media that we have, that these people are the only voices that we can actually hear.
You can only make your own mind up over the information that's actually given to you.
That's right, but they've got the same access to sources as we have. Except a lot of us don't actually put in the time and haven't got the time to put into getting the sources. But we can make our minds up. And I think what all I'm asking for is that little bit more independence of thought. And that's what Chomsky's saying as well. So it's ironic that Chomsky, people are hanging on every word he's saying, because he's saying that shouldn't be the case at all. Free thinking society. Well, just so that people actually trust themselves. So if you're walking across Dublin, say you're walking across Westmoreland Street, and you suddenly find yourself confronted by railings before you get to Dalier Street, which is currently the case, you say, what the fuck are they doing in my way? Well, this is the middle of a pedestrian crossing here, you know. And then, like, that seems odd. But nobody ever has asked any question about it. It's a very simple and honest question. There's loads of examples in everyday society that you ask things and say, surely that's a bit funny. And if it looks like a duck and walks like a duck, generally it is, you know. So a decision is generally corrupt. Or if there's something, like the Lewis, for instance, they could have put a bus route on that very same. They wouldn't have anything to do with bonding. It wouldn't have costed 800 million to build. And a bus route would have been far more flexible. Well, why did they put a Lewis on? Well, it looks nice. I don't believe it for a minute. I don't know who this A and B are, you know, but I don't know anything about brown envelopes that may or may not have transpired in the whole thing, but it's just very odd.
Is it all right to tape you?
Huh?
Is it okay to tape you?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'm taping myself here, so you work away now. So that's as far as RTE are concerned. Now, as far as the left are concerned, I think there's a few sacred cows they have that nobody can touch. And so some of them sacred cows, for instance, are abortion. I think, by the way, the left gets sidetracked, and we're not going to go very heavily into what I think of these. I happen to be against abortion as a practice. I don't think it's good, but I don't think banning it is any good either. I think it has to be state control. So there is a third way in abortion. But the left gets so hung up and draws lines. I think there could be a renewal of debate to decide what exactly is left and what is right. So many people, going back to independence of thought, they take the opinions of the leaders on the left, people like Chomsky, and which are generally quite reactive. So they're writing against events that have happened recently, that have just happened today, or that are going to happen tomorrow. And so they're constantly, there's a protest about this or a protest about that. The left could be far more imaginative. You could be doing your own things. You could be setting your own examples. We could be doing our own little economies of this, or our own volunteering on that. Although volunteering is a strange one, because there is an argument that says people should be getting a fair wage for something rather than volunteering. But very often things just won't get done unless you do them yourself. So I'm digitising O'Donnell's Irish Dictionary, and I want to keep it very quiet, because a civil servant who's been making my life miserable in Ongoom publications and not doing anything about it will probably do it when they find out about it. And I want to make it freely available online. They will probably start charging people for the effort, you know, even though it's already in the public domain and we've already paid for it. Okay, so going back to the left. I think abortion is one issue. Migration, I think it's Irish emigration in the past has been glorified. when it was more specifically, it was as a result of imperialism, and there was nothing nice about Irish emigration in the past. It completely made a ruination of rural Ireland, and that ruination is continuing today, and it will probably have the death knell in 2013 when the agricultural subsidies stop. So I know it might be cool to say that European agricultural subsidies are a bad idea. I think subsidies, wherever you come from in the world, to your agricultural sector is good. And when they lift European subsidies, they're going to make damn sure that European companies can go in completely unhampered into other countries and start fucking ripping them off as well, as if they're not doing enough already. Okay, but that's a little bit of another issue. But going back to imperialism and emigration, another one of the sacred cows of the left, nobody asks about the 17% unemployment in Poland that Polish people have to come over to Ireland from in the first place. You know, there's a little bit of something about a tapestry that's saying, oh, isn't it lovely to have the multiculturalism? And I agree, it is lovely to have the multiculturalism. But it is also lovely that people make choice to go wherever they want to go freely, that they're not forced to do so by global economic conditions. There's nothing sustainable about expecting everybody to congregate in the same part of the world when a particular boom happens to be emanating from there for whatever exploitative reason. Okay, so China might be next. Let's all go to China in another 30 years. That's not good enough. You know, if I'm from Wexford, I have a right to be able to live in rural Wexford and get a job in rural Wexford without having to come to Dublin to get services that should be provided for me here. And that isn't the case. Wexford is 100,000 people, 120,000. It's got the second highest unemployment rate after Donegal in the country. And this is not disadvantaged Connacht we're talking about. Okay, so it happens on a micro, on a national level as well as on a global level. It's equally wrong. Okay, so another sacred cow on the left is that unions are good. In my experience, people who are serving you in getting rent allowance or whatever like that, they may be in a union, but you're a completely different class of worker than they are, because you're something to be spat on. And people out there, they're at the coalface, all right. But unions have generally, I think, they've been involved in sharp practice and making sure that things don't get done so efficiently. We've got a mass body of civil servants who do as little as possible for as much as possible. And I don't think any union could ever defend that. And I think that Arthur Scargill may have been asked that if his union had been successful in keeping the coal mines open, what good was that for the global environment? And unions have to ask themselves about, they have to reconcile the interests of their workers with the interests of society as a whole. So maybe the General Post Office and on post might be a good issue, and people will say, you know, it should be kept open everywhere. But then people have got to ask, you know, is it worth the social resources that we're going to pump into on post? Or is it just going to keep people in employment for things that don't need to be done anymore? So this is something, again, that the left has to confront. That they have to confront the union issue. Divorce is another issue on the left. Divorce has puzzled me. I've never been a fan of marriage to begin with. So I'm not actually that pushed about divorce. I couldn't care about it either way. You know, so people say, you know, isn't it great people can get divorced? You know, I couldn't care less.
Connecting with what was in Ireland long before the English came.
Sure,
there was
Breton laws and stuff. And I realise that there is something ritualistic about marriage, and there is something about raising a child that involves having people stay together. But a vast majority, well, I wouldn't say for sure, but a lot of marriages in medieval Ireland were actually not done through love. They were done through convenience and political machinations, or done through trying to get ahead. So you'd marry somebody who was of a better profession, hopefully, and try to improve your station. There was very little romantic about it. But anyway, I'm not too pushed about marriage, so divorce is not a big one for me. But the whole idea of civil unions with lesbian or gay couples, it's great to see parity. It's fantastic to see parity. But I'm not even sure about the word gay. You know, if I want to go out with a young lad in the morning and a woman in the afternoon, I mean, why class me as being gay or straight or anything, you know? I think that's... It's what?
Bisexual, then?
Well, it could be anything. Well, you have a word for it, you know. I think it's something that's got to be asked as well. So, it's another sacred cow of the left, you know, which has got to be sort of But generally speaking, I suppose taking these on board, you're saying, well, is the whole left-right thing anyway a bit outdated, you know? So if somebody is coming across as being extremely racist or extremely, I think, found wanting in their opinions, I'm very interested in finding out why have these people got these opinions. It's not good enough just to be confrontational anymore. Draw a line and say, it's us against them, you know? We'll hold fort. You got to try understand where different opinions arise and why that is happening, and that is the only way that can be tackled, because they're coming from, let's say, my brother is no longer being hired as a carpenter because somebody from Latvia is charging a lower wage and is not as good at the job but can do the same. Maybe there are plenty of Latvian carpenters who could do my brother's job better than my brother, but that's not the point. The employers are actually doing it. It is a race to the bottom. And in understanding that issue, that is where something else happens and people start in a real debate, not just these mantras and these bloody sloganeering, you know. People can actually talk about reality and what is going on on the ground. But going back, before I leave, I just want to say that Kieran was talking about the Warren Shannon. It's actually legal in the US Constitution because Article 6, Section 4 of the US Constitution subordinates all US law to international law. And that war was against the UN mandate, the setting up of the UN charter and in 1948, because it was an unsanctioned war on Iraq. And that's it's against US law. It's also, with the extraordinary renditions and people coming through planes through Shannon, that's actually against Irish law. There's a Geneva Convention Act in 1962 in Irish law that says the Irish government is obliged to investigate any contravention of the Geneva Convention on Irish soil. They are most patently not doing this. They're actually sending Gardaí out to stop people like Tim Horrigan from taking photographs of these planes going through. So the Gardaí are actually preventing the law from being enforced, and they're actually operating de facto to actually make sure that Geneva Convention is being contravened. So I think it's a pretty sick, sorry excuse of a government that would let that carry on, but I'm not that really, I'm not that surprised. So if anybody else, I'll think of a few more things, but if anybody else, this is Speaker's Square, and anybody is welcome to get up here, and anybody is welcome to ask questions.
Let me make sure it's ready.
Okay. Rossanish.
Man.